people used to give it to me because I'm Irish and the Americans love Irish people. So they were like, you know, out of the goodness of their hearts, they want to give you a gift from the old country. And I'm thinking, what is this? This is a totally strange meal. I've never heard of it. I've never smelt it. I've never seen it. So I got interested in finding out how come everybody thinks this is Irish. And I think it was first thing that got me piqued was reading Frank McCourt, Angela's Ashes. And he was talking about, and that was in the 1930s, I think, he was talking about his Jewish neighbors in Brooklyn and how they would cook for him and take care of him. And either it was him or I got on to reading something else about it, about when the Irish came over here, the Jews were the only people who would give them the time of day. Because the Irish had this strange language. They were all emaciated from the famine. It was in the 1850s. The Jews were poor themselves. And they looked after the Irish because they had this shared history. You know, they were both oppressed peoples. They didn't have their lands. And the Italians didn't like them. The Germans didn't like them. So the Jews took them in. And as soon as the Irish started to earn a bit of money, they said, well, let's support these guys. So the only place was the deli. They go down to the deli and there's no bacon there. So they said, well, let's see what they have. And the cheapest cut of beef is the brisket. So they started eating the brisket. So then, you know, it was a no-brainer for them to put it with cabbage and potatoes. And then it became the dish of the Irish immigrants. But they'd never had it in Ireland, which is interesting.
So when you started to write about this, now you've been blogging about food at carvingtime.com, that's T-H-Y-M-E.com for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Did you just feel compelled as an Irish person to address this issue of corned beef? Or, you know, were you culinarily intrigued at some point about, you know, the flavour of all of this?
I wanted to address it because I wanted to, for years, and I think most Irish people are being very polite. They just kind of take it and don't say anything to Americans who are thinking, yeah, this is the real Irish food, but it's not. And I finally thought, well, I have a voice here with this blog, so I'm just going to put it down on paper and just tell them where it came from. But as I say in the blog, I think it actually, because St. Patrick's Day is celebrated all over the world now. And in Ireland, it's actually, when I was a kid, you know, and you, it was strictly a religious holiday. But now it's actually been designated a non-religious holiday in Ireland. It's a secular day, and it's now celebrated all over the world. So I kind of see the idea of corned beef and cabbage as being a meal for all immigrants. Because most people eat cabbage and potatoes, especially people from poor economic backgrounds who are forced to immigrate from Latin America to Africa to Eastern Europe. Everyone loves potatoes and cabbage. So to me, it's become like a global dish.
Given the fact that it doesn't necessarily have its history in Ireland per se, but it really is the food, the staple food of immigrants. And so when Irish people immigrated to the US, but the flavour was always something that, I mean, I know certainly I tolerated for a long time. And as you said, you'd be served this dish and you're like, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
But you've decided to try and actually come up with a recipe that isn't traditionally Irish, but, you know, as we're kind of acknowledging, it's part of the history, though, of the Irish diaspora.
It is, absolutely right. And I wanted to try it because, as I say, most of the stuff people buy it already corned in a supermarket and it's just loaded with crap and preservatives and, you know. And I wanted to make a clean corned beef to see if I could cure it. And I had a book on charcuterie and curing, and I've always been interested in curing meats and sausages and hams and things like that and making sauerkrauts and pickles and things. So I thought, I'm going to cure it and eat it. So I went out and bought a really nice piece of, you know, organic brisket and went from there. And sure enough, yeah, it's a very delicious meal. And then I thought, well, cabbage, I mean, good chance the Irish were actually eating sauerkraut and not cabbage when they came to the States that they would get in the Jewish deli. So I made kraut to go with it. So, and it was a delicious meal. I've eaten it 2 years in a row now.
And what do you do with the potatoes?
I just steam them on top of the sauerkraut. So I'll cook the sauerkraut in a pan with some duck fat and white wine. So it's kind of almost more of an Alsatian idea, what they eat in Alsace with the sauerkraut and all the sausages, you know. So I cook it in a little Riesling and duck fat and then put the potatoes on top and they steam in the sauerkraut and wine juices. And it's really tasty.
And have you served this to American friends who might have,
I have,
the more traditional corned beef and cabbage experience?
They're pretty shocked. Yeah, they're pretty shocked because it's a super tasty meal. I mean, people do it more out of nostalgia for Ireland more than looking for a culinary experience, you know. But if you eat really nice corned beef and cabbage. It's perfectly delicious.
So when you were growing up, what was the staple dish in your family?
We had a lot of bacon and cabbage, like boiled bacon. And you don't really get the cut here. I think it's cut off the back. It's a big hunk of bacon that comes brined by the butcher. They brine it so it's salted in a water solution. And you take it home and soak it, sometimes overnight, or just boil it as it is in a lot of water. And the water is very salty. And then you just take it out and slice it. And then you put the cabbage into that bacon water and cook the cabbage. And sometimes it would be served just like that with potatoes or with what they call a parsley sauce, which is like a bechamel, French-style bechamel sauce with chopped parsley in it, which is really tasty. So we'd often have that, or like a roast chicken and cabbage and potatoes, or a leg of lamb. Leg of lamb's the common meat. It's what the Irish like to eat.
Well, it is so interesting when you see the food that is served here on St. Patrick's Day, but you know, in establishments that are, say, Irish pubs or whatever, it's so far removed from what you would actually experience in Ireland.
It's so far removed. I mean, why don't people serve smoked salmon? That's a classic Irish dish.
You might be bursting quite a few bubbles here this morning, Hugh. But in terms of, you know, the relationship that immigrants then have to food and then how that kind of morphs and becomes its own identity. I mean, as we've said, the traditional corned beef and cabbage that's served, especially on St. Patrick's Day here, is not found in Ireland, but it became a dish of the emigrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what are your thoughts now as an emigrant, as am I, from Ireland, but just in terms of food and what that tells us about an emigrant's experience?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just what you said, how the food kind of morphs. It's the same for the Italians with spaghetti and meatballs. That's, you know, it's not, if Italians come over here and go to a classic Italian restaurant, they're kind of shocked. They're saying, you call this Italian food? But there is, I think it speaks to your personal history. And it speaks to the heart. Food is such a powerful thing. When you put down a plate of food in front of someone, it just sparks tradition and memories and history. And it's a very powerful thing. And I've come around to really accept and like and enjoy corned beef and cabbage. I think it's a great dish because even though it's not something that I was brought up with, I recognize that it's, as an immigrant, it's immigrant food. And I'm proud to eat that.
What are some other suggestions that you could give to listeners who now want to maybe steer clear of corned beef and cabbage, but eat something that is also still traditionally Irish? Yeah.
Well, you know, the colcannon is a terrific dish. It's just chopped kale and mashed potatoes.
Now, my mother used to hide a coin in that, or a ring.
A ring.
Now in parchment paper, what we'd call, greaseproof paper.
Right.
That would be wrapped up. And whoever then got the coin in the colcannon, I guess, got to keep it. So that was you got married if you found the ring.
If you didn't get it, you'd become a nun.
Well, I never found it, but I didn't become a nun. But there is the colcannon. Of course, the bread. Yeah. The bread is huge.
Yeah, the brown bread, what we call brown bread, what they call soda bread here, with good butter and smoked salmon. I eat that all the time here.
And one of the dishes that I certainly enjoy when I go to Ireland and when I grew up in Ireland that I never see served in Irish establishments in America are shellfish, like mussels.
Yes,
a pot full of shellfish, because of course Ireland is an island.
Yeah.
And seafood abounds.
Exactly. I talk about in the blog story about a bowl of mussels, or when we were kids we used to collect periwinkles and you'd have a bowl of periwinkles just with melted butter, you know. And prawns, the Dublin Bay prawns were a famous dish, and I think they became overfished by the 1960s and they're pretty much gone now, but you still see them in Dublin, but they're coming in from, you know, Spain nowadays, but they're still called a Dublin Bay prawn. But seafood is huge in Ireland. You're no more than 60 miles from the coast anywhere in Ireland.
Dairy, of course, is huge. Cheese exports from Ireland are huge now, and I think it's acknowledged that the cheese that has been, you know, produced there for years is actually pretty good and is seen as quite a delicacy in other countries.
It's very good because the grass is so rich in Ireland. It's the greenest grass you ever see. The land is beautiful. Even mass-produced butter like Kerrygold, the Irish butter, which you can buy all over here, it comes from small co-ops in Tipperary. All these local farmers bring the meat into the butter into the creamery and make the butter. So it's a high-quality food, I think.
In terms of a beverage to go along then with all of this food, what would you recommend?
Well, you know, a lot of people like to drink Guinness, but I don't like to drink Guinness when I eat food. So I'm a wine drinker.
There's not really Irish wine.
No, there isn't Irish wine, but the Irish have always drunk wine. They've always been friends of the French, because the French have always supported Ireland in wars against England throughout history. And there's a lot of Irish winemakers who ended up in France. The name Lynch is a famous winemaker in Bordeaux. And there's loads of Irish winemakers that have been in France for 300 years. So wine for me, wine is my choice. Red wine.
Well, people can find your recipe for a good corned beef and cabbage. Well, it's actually sauerkraut and some steamed potatoes. It's at carvingthyme.com. That's T-H-Y-M-E.com. Now, for years you worked in the food industry, creating food as a chef, then purveying food at the cheese store. Now that you're writing about food, do you have a different relationship to it?
It's much easier to, because I used to work with my hands a lot, you know, in the restaurant business. And now it's just sitting at a laptop and working with your fingers. It's a lot easier. It's really nice to have the time to just absorb that experience that I've had over the, you know, 20 years of cooking, and just see what comes out when I put pen to paper. So I find it really exciting.
And it also probably gives you an opportunity to reflect on the food, because when you're cooking, especially for other people and in a busy restaurant, there's not a whole lot of time for reflection on the origins of food or why people choose certain meals. Now you have that opportunity in that space.
Yeah, and I have the time to do the research. I would never have had a clue about the history of corned beef if I was still working in the restaurant business. So it's really nice to do a little bit of research on the food. In fact, I've kind of got hooked on beef brisket, which is the corned beef. I thought, well, what else is traditional? So just last night, it took 3 days to make it, but I made this like classic American chili, which is another immigrant dish from people coming over the border, working in the ranches from Texas all the way out to California. People make chili. And so I made a chili with a brisket. So I'm really fascinated to do the research on where did this come from, you know, and do you put beans in it? Do you not put beans in it? Who put the beans in it first?
That could be your Cinco de Mayo post.
Yeah, right. Good idea.
As you continue your series on immigrant right. food. Good but in idea. The meantime, people can find your recipe for corned beef, a genuinely right. tasty corned beef recipe. It's online at carvingthyme.com. Hugh O'Neill, thank you.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Maeve.